Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 35. This is the reading of God's Word. Now large crowds were going along with him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So then, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions. Therefore, salt is good. But if even salt has become tasteless, with what will it be seasoned? It is useless, either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Let us hear your word so our faith will grow and will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Through your word, let us see what our Lord Jesus Christ has done, what he has accomplished for us. And through your word, let us have that sweet fellowship with him. And pour out your blessings upon us, that your word will be preached correctly. And all of us not only believe, but obey your word. We thank you, and we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ is accomplishing the kingdom of God. And through what he does and what he teaches, he witnesses the reality of that kingdom. He witnesses the reality of the citizens of that kingdom. Last time, from verses 15 through 24, he told us about the ones who will not taste the banquet of Jesus Christ. Let me remind you, verse 18 through 20. "But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, 'I have bought a piece of land, and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused.' Another one said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to try them out. Please consider me excused.' Another one said, 'I have married a wife, and for that reason I cannot come.'" You could summarize that. These people love this world and their earthly family more than the kingdom of God. But the true citizens of the kingdom of God are not like that. In our passage for today, Jesus witnesses the true citizens of the kingdom of God. Again, he does this by 3 examples. First, Luke chapter 14, verse 25 and 26. "Now large crowd were going along with him, and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciples. He cannot be my disciple. The children of God, the true citizens of kingdom of God, they hate their own father and mother and wife, children, brothers and sisters, and his own life. And if you do not hate them all, then Jesus says that you cannot be his disciple. He already told us the same thing in chapter 9, verse 59 through 62. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Another also said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, to be the disciples of Jesus Christ is not a trivial matter. It's not easy. And we must remember here that Jesus Christ, our Lord, is not teaching that we must do these things to become the citizens of the kingdom of God. No, Jesus is simply showing how the true citizens of the kingdom of God are. He tells us to hate our earthly family and our own lives. Now, we must understand this very clearly. Hating our earthly family. Now, in the other places in the Bible, Jesus is actually telling us to love them. But Jesus is not saying something contradicting here. Matthew actually helps us to understand what Jesus is saying in our passage. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So the true citizens of the kingdom of God do not love anybody else more than Jesus Christ. Jesus says those who do love their earthly family more than Jesus cannot be his disciples, meaning that they are not the ones who actually follow Jesus. Second example Jesus gives, verse 27, whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. The true citizens of heaven, they carry their own crosses and follow after Jesus. Their lives are described as carrying their own crosses. Now, what kind of life do you think Jesus is speaking of by the word cross? Suffering and death. Again, Jesus already told us this in the book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 23. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. John chapter 12, verse 25. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. The life of this world, life in this world of a citizen of heaven is a life of suffering. I could show you so many verses that tells you that. Acts chapter 14, verse 22, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. The third example Jesus gives, verse 33, so that none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions. The citizens of heaven, they give up all they own for Jesus Christ. They are willing to give up all they have to follow Jesus Christ. The phrase, give up, it is to say goodbye to all of them. Mark chapter 1, verse 17 through 18 and verse 20, and Jesus said to them, follow me, I will make you become fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Verse 20, immediately he called them, and they left their father, Zebedee, in the boat with the hired servants and went away to follow him. They just left their father and followed Jesus. Now, does that sound like gospel to you? More like burden. Because you know, I know, we cannot do this. And if I just end preaching here and say, okay, go out and do this, and you go, amen. Is that the gospel? But it is the gospel. Listen to it all the way to the end. The fact is, Jesus actually says that the citizens of heaven, they hate their earthly family and their own lives, and they carry their own crosses and follow Jesus, and they are willing to give up all they possess for Jesus Christ. That's the fact. Do you remember those who will not taste the kingdom of God in verses 18 through 20? They actually love this world and their earthly family more than Jesus and heaven. But the true citizens of heaven loves Jesus more than anything and anyone. Again, we see that being the disciples of Jesus is not an easy thing. That is why in our passage, Jesus gives us two parables in verses 28 through 32. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. It's pretty easy to understand what Jesus is saying. But let me explain. Someone wants to build a tower. He will definitely sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough money to finish building it. Otherwise, he will not finish it and become a laughingstock to all. The second example, a king with just 10,000 men is thinking about going to a war with another king who is coming with 20,000 men. He will definitely sit down and calculate whether he will be able to defeat the coming army. And if he believes that his army cannot defeat the coming army, then he will send a delegation to ask for terms of peace. Otherwise, all will be dead. Everyone calculates before he or she does anything. And that's the fact. It says, for which one of you would not calculate? Jesus' answer is, no one. Everybody will calculate. We all do. Would you invest your money when you are so sure that you will lose everything? Who will not calculate? Your calculation might be wrong, but you will calculate. That's what we do in all things. Just like it, when it comes to follow Jesus Christ, you must sit down and first calculate. What would you lose by following Jesus? What would you gain by following Jesus? Calculate. Why would you follow Jesus if all you do is suffer a loss ultimately? That you cannot even go to heaven and you're going to lose everything. Why would you follow Jesus if that's your calculation? And if you think following Jesus is not going to bring any profit, then don't even start. Just like this person who is building a tower. If he calculates that there's not enough money to build it, then he will not even start. You have to understand, brothers and sisters, no one is forced to be a disciple of Jesus. Nobody is forcing you. Understand? You know, don't complain about following Jesus and you know, all this suffering comes and difficult time comes and you complain as if you are forced to follow. No, Jesus says, okay, sit down and calculate. What will you gain? What will you lose by following Jesus? And the calculation comes to negative, then don't even begin. Don't complain. Nobody is forcing you. And Jesus says, verse 34, therefore salt is good, but if even salt has become tasteless, with what will it be seasoned? It is useless, either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Those who follow without the calculation and give up following Jesus Christ. Those people are like the salt that has become tasteless. The word tasteless, it actually means to be foolish. It is useless, so it is thrown out. It is like what 2 Peter 2:22 says, a dog returns to his own vomit. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, God tells you to sit down today and calculate. What do you think you will lose by following Jesus? And Jesus is very clear what you need to lose. And what do you think that you will gain? And Jesus is very clear in the Bible what you will gain. So calculate. Brothers and sisters, Jesus never promised you this world. He never promised you this world. But He did promise you suffering. I could show you many, many verses how He promised you suffering. Brothers and sisters, you cannot complain thinking He did not give you something that He never promised you. I mean, how can you complain that He's not giving you something that He has not promised you? And you cannot grumble for sufferings which He has promised you. I mean, what is that if you're doing that? They complain about something that is not given, even though He never promised. Or complaining about suffering, which He has promised you. So before you begin, sit down and calculate. And you think that following Jesus is just not for you, it's not good for you, then don't start. Nobody is forcing you. Man, it is so amazing how people just complain to God. It's exactly what He said in His book. And yet, churchgoers, they just complain. This is why God tells you to sit down and understand what you will gain and what you have to lose, so that you will be very clear what's going to happen in your life. And if you still think it's good for you to follow Jesus, then of course follow Him. I know what I have to expect as I follow Jesus. And it's never about the worldly things that I believe I'm going to gain. Matthew 13, verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. See, he calculates that the treasure hidden in the field is more valuable than all he has. Thus, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Think about it. If the treasure he found, if he believes it's not worth anything, why would he go home and sell everything he has to buy that? Why would he do that? Nobody will do that. So why would you follow Jesus if following Jesus you believe is worth less than what you already have? He calculates that one pearl is more valuable than all he has. Thus, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that pearl. Just like it. You and I have calculated and concluded that the eternal life of heaven and being with Jesus Christ forever are far more valuable than what we have to lose in this world by following Him. Even if we have to lose our own lives. Isn't that the calculation that we came up with? Otherwise, I encourage you to sit down and calculate yourself. And if you need an advisor making this calculation, then you could talk to me too. I'll tell you what you have to lose based on what the Bible says. And I tell you what you will gain based on what the Bible says. But you have to do your own calculation. See, this was the calculation of Apostle Paul. Philippians 3, verse 8 and 9. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Gaining Jesus Christ for Paul is far valuable than the loss of all things in this world. And this is our calculation also. That's why we are Christians. To follow Jesus in this world is to be hated by this world. John 15, verse 18 and 19, if a world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. 1 John 3:13, do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. John chapter 17, verse 14, Jesus says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We do not belong to this world, but we do belong to heaven. Being accepted by our Lord Jesus Christ in heaven is far valuable than being accepted by this world now. That's our calculation, isn't it? Do you think you're actually losing out because you're following Christ? Somehow all these things that Jesus tells you, how you have to hate your own family, how you have to hate this world, how hate your own life, that you are willing to sell all things you have if it is for Christ, by doing those things, you think you're actually losing out? Is that your calculation? Then you don't know the truth. You don't know the gospel. The citizens of heaven. Let me repeat again. They hate their earthly family and their own lives. And they carry their own crosses and follow Jesus. And they are willing to give up all they possess for Jesus Christ. And my question to you is, can you do all that? Well, I'm not confident. If not flat out, cannot do those things. Can you do all that? How is this gospel to us? First thing you must realize is that what we read from the Bible today, our passage is, first of all, the stories of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is His story first, so that it is our story. If it is not the story of Jesus, then what God commands us will never be the good news to us. Actually, if it is never about Christ, then everything that God tells us to do is God saying to us, go to hell. Because you and I, we cannot obey them. And if you don't obey, you sin. And the wage of sin is eternal hell. So God just telling you to do without Christ is telling you to go to hell. How is that gospel? But that's the kind of message you will hear. They tell you to do things without telling us what Christ has done, what He has accomplished for us. Can you do these things? No, I can't. No, I could try, but I will never be able to obey these things perfectly. But the Bible tells me that these things are the stories of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus loves us. And to love us, He was determined to be abandoned by His own Father in heaven, His family. Do you see it? He was determined to be abandoned by His own family of heaven, His Father. He loved us more than His own life. And He literally took up His cross to save us from sin. And He was willing to give up all He had, even His life. Yes, Jesus has calculated, even before the creation, He, so to speak, sat down and calculated, what must I give up? And what would I gain? Do you understand that Jesus calculated? Hebrews 12, verse 2, who Jesus, for the joy set before Him, that's heavenly joy, where He's going to be with His family, His brothers and sisters who are in Him. Joy of heaven, for that joy set before Him, He endured the cross. Calculation, joy of heaven, enduring cross, which is more valuable. Just like you and I, we must calculate joy of heaven and the life of suffering. Just like Jesus did. joy of saving his people and living with them in heaven versus the cross. The amazing thing is the conclusion of his calculation. See, we understand why we know that Jesus and heaven are far more valuable to us than all the things of this world we must lose. But what we don't understand is why Jesus calculated that saving us so that he could be with us in heaven is far valuable to him than all he had to lose saving us. He had to lose even his own life. That we don't understand. Yeah, for us, heaven and Jesus and anything we could have in this world. Oh, we know that heaven and Jesus, that's more valuable. That's easy. Unless you're stupid. But what we don't understand is why to Jesus that us being with him is more valuable than all the suffering, all the things that he had to go through, all the things that he had to lose, even his own life. I don't understand that calculation. And yet Jesus chose us that we are more valuable. This is the gospel. And once you truly understand the gospel, that love that he shows, that gospel moves us. And we see what is truly valuable to us. Nothing in this world, even my own earthly family, it's nothing compared to my Lord and being with him forever and ever. He was willing to become a man and come to the low place and living the suffering life and be abandoned by his own father on the cross. Can you understand how valuable you are? If he was willing to go through all that just to gain you, how valuable you are to him. Do you understand? To gain us, our Lord Jesus Christ suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish. The treasure in the field, that's us. And Jesus was willing to spend all things, even his life, to have us. That's the gospel. Those are the stories of Jesus Christ. Once you understand the gospel, you will always choose Jesus. Jesus over even your own family of this world. It's when you don't understand the gospel, you will love all those other things more than Christ. It's amazing. The gospel is amazing. Why would God do all these things just to gain sinful people like us? And I pray that you would understand the calculation of Jesus Christ so that your calculation will be participating in his own calculation. Yes, Jesus has saved us and made us the new creation. We do not belong to the structure of this world, of the earthly families and the earthly wealth any longer. But we belong to heaven. I am saved out of any structure of this world, even if that structure of earthly family. I'm free. Is God telling me to hate my own family? No! But I'm not slave to it. I have new family. Family of heaven. And you are my family. Like I am your family. A heavenly family to me is more valuable than any earthly family. Because it is family of Jesus Christ. Does that mean we don't care for our earthly family? No, we do care. God told us to care. But we just have a more precious family. And if you are still stuck on the structure of this world, you're being slave to this world still, even though God saved you out of it. And I pray that no one here will misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying go out and just forsake your family and just don't care for them. I have to repeat that again and again because some people will misquote me and say, what? You told me to just forsake my earthly family? Well, sometimes you have to. Sometimes. Because gospel is just way too strong. Man, this just possess you and just never lets you go. And you don't want to go. You want to be possessed by it forever. And what the Bible promises you is that right now you may not be able to do these things, but one day you will. You will. Jesus is working in us even now to make us love Him and His kingdom more than any earthly family and our own lives, and to make us carry our own crosses and follow Jesus. He's working. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. It is our present spiritual reality. We must believe that doing these things are our already accomplished spiritual reality, and we do our best to witness that reality in our lives. You and I have, by God's grace, calculated according to the truth, concluded according to the pleasing will of God. Brothers and sisters, if we cannot forsake this world, then we will truly lose all things. And death for you and me it is forsaking all of this world. I don't know, maybe there's a symbolism. When you die, your hands will be open because you're letting go of the whole world. You will not take anything of this world when you go to heaven. And from that on, you did forsake the world and you will never seek it. Never. Understand, this is what we are, how we are. Already we have become this kind of people. You must believe. You must believe. And one day, you will see yourself as such in that glorious place. Guaranteed. So until that day, keep practicing. Keep practicing saying goodbye to this world. Yeah, I want you to see your life in these terms. You get up in the morning and you keep on saying, you continue to say goodbye, goodbye, goodbye to this world. Because that's what our life is all about, saying goodbye to this world. Because we're going to another world. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Oh Father, it is just amazing grace that we could be just like Jesus Christ. We thank you for telling us that all these things you have commanded is the story of Jesus Christ. And one day we're going to be just like him, that we will be doing these things just like he did. Oh, thank you that it is your will that we'll be just like Christ. Let us show that as much as possible in our lives, showing to the whole world what Jesus is doing in our lives, working in us, making more and more, making us more like himself. We thank you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.